Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:10 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 28th. Well, I thought that I would start off today by looking at Tencent, because it has closed below its 200-day moving average this week. And that's a pretty important development, because it was the absolute darling of the stock market, not least among the big Chinese tech companies over the course of the last 18 months. But it did lose uptrend consistency at the penultimate high. Then it moved on to a new high. It wasn't quite able to surmount it when it rallied back up to test it in March. Now we've got a lower high. And this is not an encouraging pattern, not least because we had that acceleration all the way through 2017. And something that a phrase that David coined years ago was that a broadening pattern after a particularly consistent period is not a reliable continuation pattern. So Tencent has got a lot to prove at this level. But perhaps more important than that is that it is a major constituent of the MSCI Emerging Markets Index. And the Emerging Markets Index has broken down. That it did accelerate up to test, and in fact, if I just look at this on a longer term scale, just about a test its 2007 high, and wasn't quite able to hold the move above 1200 on this occasion either, and now it is back below the trend mean. Well, if considering the depth of the pullback, it's got work to do in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Now, it has been down almost consecutive days, so there is a short-term oversold condition evident. We couldn't rule out the possibility that we're going to get a reversionary rally, but the minimum required to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment is that it pushes back above the trend mean. If this is a deeper reaction, then there is also a possibility that it may encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean. What I find particularly interesting is the commonality between the Hang Seng and the MSCI Emerging Markets Index. Again, if we look at that on a longer term basis, the Hang Seng was just about able to nudge a new high earlier this year, but it is also pulling back below the trend mean. And it is being led lower by the property sector. So when we look at, for example, and of course the property developers are some of the largest weightings in the Hang Seng, then that has also broken down. So this is a broader pullback that we're seeing. It's not just when we look at the A shares or indeed the H shares, those Chinese mainland companies that are listed in Hong Kong, that we're seeing this deterioration. And of course, it's not just the stock market. The currency is now up above, or the dollar is up above 6.6 versus the renminbi. It's the renminbi has been down on consecutive days for the last 2 weeks. And this is the primary avenue that the Chinese are using to combat fears of a trade war, that they're devaluing the currency. But of course, if they are going to try and support the currency, then that's going to require some tighter monetary policy. They may have to raise interest rates. If they do that, then that's going to put pressure on the property sector. So, and they are putting pressure on the property sector. They're trying to squeeze out some of the excess that that has gone on there, and that represents a significant risk for China, considering just how many how much building has gone on and how many vacant apartments there are. When you don't have a property tax, there is no cost to simply holding vacant apartments, and that then means that it has been the primary vehicle for people to park assets. And what a falling price environment could mean is that you get a lot of supply coming onto the market in a very short period of time. What the rise in the dollar versus the renminbi also holds out the prospect of is capital flight from China. And that was really a problem back in 2016. And it was one of the catalysts in the bull market that we had for Bitcoin. If we cast our minds back all the way to 2016, when Bitcoin was trading below $1,000, that there was a lot of speculation that it was being used as a vehicle for Chinese people to get their money out of the country. Well, That does not appear to be the case right now, with it flirting at the lower side of its range, and there is a significant possibility that it just simply breaks lower. The logarithmic scale chart really does highlight that there is a lot of blank space underneath this 6,000 level, and that the trend is downwards. Well, when we look around some of the rest of Asia, there was a dynamic break in the Indonesian market today, and it has pushed on to new lows on the stock market index, but then the rupiah has also broken down, so it is now breaking through that 14,000 level, and it is quite likely, given the dynamic move, to at least test the lows that we saw back in 2015. I think it is worth considering that the dollar hasn't been rallying for all that long against some of these currencies. It's only been a few months, and I think that's one of the most important factors that we need to consider right now, that there is the potential that the dollar could keep rallying. Well, the rupee is now testing its lows against the dollar, and it's at 68, almost 0.8, and the peak in well, in fact, the peak was today, when we had, but it wasn't quite able to hold, or the dollar wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance in here today. So, that does not look like a chart that is about to reverse imminently, and it's probably going to require some significant action on the RBI's behalf to really exhibit strength and to really send a clear signal to the market that they're willing to defend this 69 area for the rupee against the dollar. When we look at the stock market, it was a little bit weaker in here today, but I think it is the currency is much more important, that so far the stock market index has been holding the region of the trend mean during what has been a consolidation for the last 6 or 7 weeks, but that is being masked by the relative weakness of the currency. Then, when we look at Japan, we have a reasonably similar story, that the weakness of the currency is helping to support the nominal price index, and the Nikkei was bouncing today from around the 20,000 level, but the yen is now trading below the 110 level, or the dollar's breaking above that area. And this looks like a reasonable consolidation for the US dollar in the region of the trend mean, and the most likely scenario is that it will be able to break up and away from this range that we've had for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and that would be a bullish catalyst for the Japanese market. Then, when we look at the Federal Reserve's stress tests for the U.S. banking sector are going to be released in about 10 minutes' time, and how the market reacts to that news tomorrow is going to be rather pivotal, because the S&P 500 is right in the region of the lower side of its range, and it had broken down yesterday and was just a little bit steadier in here today. But it really does need to bounce in a rather emphatic manner from the current level to confirm that this is a buying opportunity in the region of the trend mean. JP Morgan, which I think a lot of investors would be looking to raise its dividends, is still trading below the trend mean. And yes, it was off its lows in here today, with people beginning to speculate that it'll come out of the stress tests in better form. But we're going to need some confirmation of that to really, I think, drive home the point that this has been a consolidation rather than a more corrective phase. Deutsche Bank, which has a US operation and has had to consolidate it, is still trending lower. And it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but it has a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs, and it really does need to break those to begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. What I think is also interesting right now is that the Greek government bond yield is currently at approximately 4%, and when we look at the Italian yield, it's at 2.78%. So What we've seen certainly over the course of the last 2 months has been a substantial a depreciation in terms of confidence for Italian government bond yields. There is a lot of speculation going on about exactly what it is that the Italian administration is going to do. And so far, what they are concentrating on is their anti-immigration rhetoric rather than their plans to expand the fiscal largesse of the government, and that has helped to contain the yields. But in on the event that they do try to pressure the fiscal compact, that's the basis of the euro, then we can anticipate that yields are going to spike higher once more. Greek government bond yields, considering the fact that they have kicked the can down the road and extended the maturity of those bonds, that's something that is probably a bullish factor for the country generally, but the big question is whether people are ever really going to get their money back. But the Athens stock market is now trading below the trend mean, and it was coming down in a dynamic manner over the course of the last couple of months, and it's back testing its reaction lows. Then, if we look at Northern Europe, Denmark. The Danish market does look like it's having some difficulty around this 1,000-point level, and it is coming back down towards its lows. Then, when we look at the Swedish krona, that is seeing the dollar now pushing back up towards the 9 level, and it does look like it has found support in the region of the trend mean. So, I think when we look at the OMX, that has to be at least considered that the currency is depreciating and the stock market is encountering resistance around this 1600 point level. And one of the other currencies that is pulling back rather sharply in here today is the New Zealand dollar. And it is at a new reaction low against the US dollar here. So this has been a volatile range for 2 years already, and we're now coming down to the lower side in a dynamic manner. And I think when we think about the outlook for both New Zealand and Australia, neither wants to aggressively raise rates, and neither wants a particularly strong currency. Therefore, the likelihood is that we're going to see some additional downside here. Now, the Aussie dollar has developed very short-term oversold conditions, so there is the potential that we get some pause, but there is a clear downward trend, and it has now encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. So I think we have to I think pay due consideration that the relative performance of the ASX is in large part due to the weakness of the currency. And so far, the ASX has held this break above the psychological 6,000 level, and the banking sector. I'm simply going to look at the ASX financials. They are resurgent and now testing the region of the trend mean and firming in here today. So that is, I think, holding out the prospect that they will be able to push back up and to break the downward trend that we've seen over much of the last 12 months. So certainly in nominal terms, the weaker currency is it's not all bad news for stock markets, but certainly we have to I think the commonality that we used to have in stock markets for most of last year has certainly disappeared. Then the Korean won, having been one of the most inert currencies versus the dollar for most of this year, is breaking lower. The Taiwan dollar is also trending lower now against the US dollar. The dollar has broken a 2 year progression of lower rally highs against it and found support around the 29 area, which is exactly where it found support back in 2013 and approximating the levels from 2011. And the Singapore dollar is in a similar situation, that having strengthened up really quite considerably over the course of the last 12 months, now the dollar is resurgent against it. And again, I think it is highly noteworthy that the dollar's rally against some of these currencies is not particularly long in the tooth. It's only been going on for the last few months. then the Mexican peso has continued to extend its rally against the US dollar. So that is bucking the trend somewhat in here. And this is, I think, at least a reversionary rally. Of course, Mexico has an election this weekend, and the favorite to win is a left-wing populist. So that is going to create some friction on the geopolitical front between, at least in North America, one can likely anticipate. Well, the Dow Jones was in negative territory in early trading, but was able to recoup some of its loss, and therefore it was demonstrating that at least there is short-term support in the region of the trend mean. And it is right now in the region of that trend mean, and on previous occasions that it has come down to this level, it has bounced. So it is going to be a rather interesting situation how well the market can bounce over the course of the next few days. We're going to have reasonably quiet markets next week because of the 4th of July Independence Day holiday. And it's also the end of the quarter, so there will be some effort by people to try and flatter their performance by supporting the market in here. When we think about what's going on in the wider market, the S&P 500 has come back towards the 2700 level, and it has held a progression of higher reaction lows since the end, well, really the beginning of April. And if it bounces from this area, well, then that sequence will still be intact, and the ranging uptrend can, I think, we can give it the benefit of the doubt. Generally speaking, after you get a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, like we saw in February, you get a period of ranging, and that's exactly what we're getting. Rather than, I think, looking specifically at the 200-day moving average, I think the 2,500-point level is the key level now for the S&P 500. That we've seen the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 breaking higher. And they were in negative territory yesterday, and both were a little bit steadier in here today. And so far, they have more or less held their breakouts. If they can continue to do that, then that would, I think, lend a great deal of additional credibility to the conclusion that this medium-term correction is going to be on the shorter side of the 6 to 18-month time range that we have. So a point that I've been considering over the course of the last couple of days is the yield curve spread. There are two points that I think are worthy of consideration, and I'm not sure I have a clear conclusion just yet. But the first is that there is a growing consensus among investors and commentators and economists that there's going to be a recession at some point in late 2019 or 2020. Well, that's a possibility, and but generally, when lots of people think that there's going to be a recession some point in the future, then either it's wishful thinking that it's at least a couple of years away, so we don't really need to worry about it, or there is, or they're going to be wildly wrong. So that's one consideration. Then there is the other, that the yield curve spread is a very reliable lead indicator for future recessions. And there has only been one occasion over the course of the last 50 years when it gave a false positive. But I'm wondering whether there isn't the possibility that it could give a false negative. That's another possibility, that could we have a recession without the yield curve spread going negative? Well, that's, I think, something that we will find out in due course. But one thing we know for certain is that the spread is contracting, and the pace of the contraction is picking up, and eventually it is going to become negative, and then there's going to be a high likelihood that we are in the very late stages of this cyclical advance. There is no bull market that isn't punctuated by occasional recessions, and it will create buying opportunities. One, I think, point that something that we look at from the perspective of trying to predict when markets are going to have trouble is obviously the yield curve spread. Then, of course, you also have high yield spreads. And high yield spreads in the USA have been inert, but they are starting to move higher. And they are now right back at testing the upper side of the range. And we know that financial conditions are getting tighter because interest rates are rising, the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet, and banks haven't been performing particularly well. Well, we also know that high yield spreads are rising in Europe and that financial conditions in China are tightening. So this isn't a uniquely US phenomenon, but in fact that there is greater evidence of tightening elsewhere. So if we're actually looking for risk, then potentially the risk is not specifically in the USA, but potentially in Europe or indeed in China. And it is in the Chinese stock market that we have the greatest evidence of trend deterioration. So I think that is certainly something that needs to be paid attention to, that when you have something that has been doing reasonably well and then turns to quite clear position of underperformance, and in the full understanding that even the Chinese markets were doing well because they were state-sponsored and that the state is no longer sponsoring it, that's also something that we need to bear in mind. Well, then there is the fact that oil prices have been quite firm, and West Texas Intermediate was in additional positive territory in here today. Now, it wasn't quite able to hold its high, and it has raced to get up to this level, so we may get some consolidation, but this is still very bullish action, and it does suggest that the energy sector is ripe for some additional upside. Then, surging oil prices tend to be a tax on growth, and if oil prices don't just consolidate and continue to if we continue to see oil prices going up and down and with just a mild upward bias, that would be benign. If we see oil prices surging higher and most particularly taking out the $100 level, then that is going to represent significant headwind to global growth, and that would weigh on particularly emerging markets that are more energy intensive. Then you have unemployment figures, and unemployment is still very low. That's unlikely to be a lead indicator, but it could be a coincident indicator for trouble in future. So there are those are classic indications of a return of tighter liquidity and potential trouble or a future recession. And then you have the performance of highly defensive sectors. And they generally tend to underperform into market peaks because they're not attractive. They have kind of boring models. And companies like British Tobacco had trended lower in a rather dynamic manner from the middle of 2017, and going from about 5,500 to 3,500 is a pretty significant move. But there is increasing evidence that they have found at least near-term support. Then Imperial Brands appears to be getting more active in the cannabis sector, and that share had come from over 4,000 to 2,250, so that was not quite a halving, but not far off it either. And they pay attractive dividends, and when people are looking for defensive characteristics, well, that's what they're looking for, is attractive dividends. And now we have a higher reaction low for Imperial Brands. Well, defensive sectors turning back to positions of outperformance are also a classic sign of a late stage move. So this is quite apart from the fact that a significant number of people have no interest in owning tobacco shares for moral reasons. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep an eye on them for the simple reason that a return to outperformance by defensives is not particularly great news for the wider stock market. And then we have what's been going on with gold. Well, gold was down another $4 in here today. It is now approximating the low that we had back in December. Well, on previous occasions when the market has pulled back in a dynamic manner like it has recently, then it has bounced emphatically. So sentiment is certainly turning more bearish, And the price has now extended its decline below the trend mean, so it really does have a lot of work to really confirm that demand is returning to dominance. But it is oversold in the short term, and it still does have this saucering characteristic. The progression of higher reaction lows from the beginning of 2017 is still evident. On current action, it could well get taken out, and if that does occur, well, then that would extend the range, and we could be going sideways for a fair bit longer. But at the same time, there is still a short-term oversold condition, and I think that the most likely scenario is that that gold is due a bounce. So I think this is a rather interesting level, but there's no evidence of it just yet. And silver prices were down 19 in here today. They broke downwards and are trading now below the $16 level for the first time since December. So that range that's been holding since February has now been broken lower, and it's a clear upper dynamic would be required to confirm a failed downside break, quite similar to the kind of dynamics that signaled the failed upside breaks at the upper side of the range. And platinum prices are continuing to deteriorate, and they are well below $900 right now, and we're down, and this chart is taking a long time to load, down over $10 in here today. Now it does look like they're going to come back down and test that $800 level that we saw in early 2016 and again in 2008. On each of those occasions, we had a significant rally, and the rally off the low in 2016 was nearly 50%. So there is the potential that we're going to get a bounce in the precious metal in sector in the not too distant future, but so far there's no evidence that it has begun just yet. And then palladium had been the clear leader in the precious metal sector over the course of the last couple of years, and it is now back below the trend mean. It has pulled back, and it is certainly not looking as consistent as it had previously. So it's going to have to hold that low around the $900 area, or we're going to be looking at a completed top formation. So I think there's certainly a lot going on in the markets, and there is this continued specter of trade war fears, and I don't think that that's going to go away anytime soon. That this is news that's going to ebb and flow. There is a simple matter of the fact that populism is rising as a result of a revolution against the status quo, and the status quo over the course of the last 40 years has been the adoption of globalization, the sacrifice of domestic manufacturing, and in service to the interests of big corporations. And people are rebelling against it. And this is not something that is simply going to go away overnight. That we can anticipate that politics are going to be an additional factor in markets, I think, for the foreseeable future. And that alone, the fact that we have something else to worry about, represents an additional risk premium on the market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.